Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen with producer James Platy on the board. It is Monday. Thanks for joining us. A little bit cooler, but just as nice out there on today's program. Sludge used as fuel in Delhi Township. That's what officials want to do, but some residents say no way. And with Lansing now searching for a new superintendent using an out-of-state search firm, just how often is that done, and is that the best way to find the right candidate? We'll figure that out. But first, the Supreme Court today beginning to hear oral arguments on the Affordable Care Act. Some like to call it Obamacare, but whatever you call it, it's drawing some strong reactions. Some saying it's the end of our freedoms, while others say it's the only rational choice for health care in America. Someone who's not a big fan is Dr. Hal Schurz, the founder and president of Docs for Patient Care, concerned physicians committed to the establishment of a healthcare system that preserves the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship. Dr. Schurz, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael.
I guess one of the issues, if you don't have health care, like over 50 million Americans, that you're probably not going to have any kind of doctor-patient relationship. Don't you agree?
I think that's absolutely correct. The Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, I think we can call it Obamacare because he has ownership. This is, I think, an intrusion into the doctor's exam room, and it puts the government squarely between our patients and us.
You know, in Michigan, we have over a million people that have no health insurance. That's 1 out of 10. Now, when you look at that kind of number, what are your thoughts in terms of resolving it? Because even insurers say the only way we're going to be able to cover more people, and with 50 million people across the country without insurance, we really have to address it, is that we have to get everyone involved, healthy people and sick people. We cannot exclude anybody. What are your thoughts on that?
The decision about how to take care of people is one that is an individual, not a societal decision. Our society is a compassionate society, and people take care of patients if they need health care. But for the government to compel individuals to purchase something and to engage in health care when they may decide they want to pay for their own health care themselves, this law does not have any leeway for that to happen.
Well,
it compels people.
You say we're a compassionate society, but we're leaving 50 million people out there without health insurance. And even though they may be able to get ER emergency help when they need it, they're really not getting regular treatments to avoid painful predicaments. Is that not the case?
No, it's not, Michael. I think that number is one that gets thrown around all the time. It's not 50 million people at all. And when you drill down on those numbers, and it becomes very easy to just throw those numbers around, but people who actually can't afford insurance, who are shut out, or who can't get it because they've got a pre-existing condition and it's too expensive, those numbers are really closer to about 10 to 15 million people. Now, that's a large number, and I'm not saying that there aren't people who need help, but what we've seen happen is that the entire healthcare system for 320 million Americans has been dramatically altered for the problems of 10 to 15 million people. And this is about issues like quality of care. It's about doctor-patient relationship. It's about access. We were told that if the Affordable Care Act passed, that it would take care of access to care and cost. Well, it's done neither. In fact, costs have gone up.
We haven't seen it take effect, though, not fully. I mean, we just have a few things in place, but we have to give it some time, right? I mean, at this point, we're waiting until 2014 to actually have the plan fully implemented.
Well, that's true, but, you know, we were also told that this health care bill, the cost on it was $980 billion. It had to be under a magical number of $1 trillion for it to really be palatable to the American people. I don't know when $1 trillion became a palatable number, but we've now learned that the costs are closer to $2 trillion, and it's probably going to go up to about $2.5 trillion. And this is just not affordable. This is something that is going to bankrupt our country, and there are better ways of doing this.
Well, in terms of the numbers, that's only time will tell. But in terms of what the Affordable Care Act is doing, it in a lot of ways, it's bringing in preventative care. It's in a way that is not being done now. And in terms of the doctor-patient relationship now, how exactly or what is the one primary way that you see it altering what we currently have?
Well, I'll tell you two ways that it's going to alter it. First of all, Kathleen Sebelius, or whoever is going to be the Secretary of HHS, has almost unlimited health care powers granted by this bill. So there are more times in this bill where it says the Secretary shall, or they enumerate powers and responsibilities to the Secretary of HHS over health care that are so broad that it really boils down to the fact that the rules of the road are made on the fly by the Secretary, and people who wish to participate in this system are going to have to follow the HHS guidelines, or they're going to either be shut out or penalized. But the most, I think, bipartisan, egregious part of this law is the Independent Payment Advisory Board, or the ITAB, which has gotten a lot of press. And that is an unelected board that is under the Secretary of HHS that will have the power. They exist only for one reason, and that is to keep the Medicare costs down. And there's only one way that they are empowered to do that, and that is to cut reimbursement to physicians starting in 2015, and then hospitals starting in 2020. And when the decisions about health care are going to be made on financial basis and not on an individual basis, which is what doctors and patients currently do right now.
I'm talking to Dr. Hal Schurz. He's the founder and president of Docs for Patient Care, which is a group of physicians, certainly no fans of Obamacare. But Hal, the insurance options will be there in the marketplace. They certainly will have a range of options, and there will be those that might be more expensive but would allow patients to have the services that you're saying won't be available. Is that not the case? Won't the choices be there? It'll be just a matter of paying for them?
Well, yes and no. First of all, the choices will be, again, under federal control. So, in other words, if we saw last year...
Well, you're talking about the minimum choices, right? I mean, there's things that have to be...
I'm talking about whether or not certain, even preventative, health care services will be available to people and paid for by their insurance company or by a government plan that they may have. We saw this last year and the year before. We saw it from the U.S. Preventative Health Services Task Force. They came out in 2010 with a policy that routine mammography is no longer necessary in women between the ages of over 50 years of age. So this means that screening, which is a breast cancer, is now number one killer of women. This task force said that screening would no longer be routinely paid for.
But a patient can request a screening if they want one. They're just giving a guideline, are they not?
No, that's right now. It's a guideline, but in a Affordable Care Act, where this is no longer a guideline, but it is a mandate by one of the 159 boards and bureaucracies that this law has set up, this will be the the not guidelines, but rather the regulations that are set up. And then last year we saw with prostate cancer screening the same thing, where that was no longer felt to be necessary.
Okay, just a couple of minutes left, but I want to direct you to pre-existing conditions. As you know, that's the reason why many people are not able to get insurance in the private market.
Sure,
that's something that would not be allowed under Obamacare. Don't you agree that at least that aspect of Obamacare is a good one?
I do. I think that pre-existing conditions are a very difficult problem for a lot of people. And there are ways of setting up high-risk pools to account for that. You know, they set up these high-risk pools under the Affordable Care Act. They expected about 350,000 people to be enrolled. And to date, less than 45,000 people have signed up, and the reason is because it's so expensive. And the way that the government set this up was really just untenable for most people out there. And there are better ways of setting up pools, risk pools, so that people with pre-existing conditions could get the care that they need.
Only a minute left. I do need to ask you this, because right now, folks that don't have insurance are getting care in the emergency rooms. We're paying for it, the ones of us that are insured. So in a sense, that we can't avoid providing that insurance for them, and they're getting it for free. Do you acknowledge that, in a sense, that's where the system is broken, that we're covering the cost for those that are uninsured, and they're actually their services cost more than ours who are insured?
What I acknowledge is the fact that the federal government set up this system where people are getting care for free and there's cost shifting, and that has to do with the EMTALA law that the federal government created, so that people who show up in emergency rooms have to be taken care of, and physicians have to, they're compelled to take care of them. So of course there's going to be cost shifting if the government is creating the situation that they now feel is a problem. And we used to have ways that we took care of patients like this. There was a network of private hospitals, of charity hospitals. Doctors gave their services away and continue to do so today. But the way that this system is set up right now and the way that the Affordable Care Act is responding to it, it's going to limit the amount of choice that people have, and it's going to really take away the access that they have to doctors, especially those who are on Medicare and Medicaid.
We'll have to leave it there. Dr. Hal Schurz, the founder and president of Docs for Patient Care. Hal, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate being there.
Excellent.